This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Macca, Paul and Fiona. Chicks Talking Footy has been a huge success for Joy, a great initiative of a group of chicks who want to talk footy and talk about the AFL Women's League and other parts of the AFL, including the guys. Fiona joins us. Good morning, Fiona. How are you? Another Fiona.
Yes, good morning, Macca. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
How are you? And we've got a Fiona in the studio, so we're having a Fiona convention.
You're in the meat and the Fiona sandwich.
We could actually call it Chicks Talking Fiona.
There are plenty of Fionas out there that could talk.
I know.
Chicks and footy.
Footy. So the show, Fiona, has been a huge success, and congratulations to you guys for, one, you know, coming up with it, the station supporting it, the AFL, also supporting it, and the Women's League has been, I think, an unqualified success.
Yes.
One of the first games, was it one of the first games at Princess Park where they really undercalled the crowd and they ended up with basically a shit fight, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they were scheduling that game at Olympic Park, which I think only seats around about 5,000. So they were really underestimating the crowd. And I think as they saw the interest evolve, they thought we need a bigger ground. And even then they had to lock out, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people because they just couldn't fit everyone in the stadium. I'll never forget that 90 minutes of just watching that stadium fill up and then the announcement come across that they were locking people out was just, that the AFL had no idea that was going to happen was just amazing. A moment I think anyone that was at that game won't forget.
I mean, we all sort of live in our own little worlds and, we like to think that everyone likes what we like. Were you surprised? I mean, certainly the AFL was, but were you surprised at the incredible depth of support for women's footy? Like women playing footy in the AFL?
I was surprised by how much support there was, I have to admit. I mean, we obviously were keen and watching what was going on, and we'd been at there was an All-Stars game late the year before, so that would have been 2015 or 2016, Witten Oval, and I think there was 6,000 or 7,000 people that turned up for that. It was in the last round of the AFL men's season, and it was in the bye round, so the men weren't playing, but there was a million people that tuned in nationwide to watch it, so there was definitely already the feeling that this was going to be bigger than I think anyone thought, and the interest was much more widespread, and there was much more women playing football, I think, than they realised as well. So it's definitely, the first season was definitely a huge success, and look, let's hope that season two just builds on that success.
Do you ever think there's going to be or what do you think? Do you think there would ever be mixed matches?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I think the guys might be a bit afraid of you.
Yeah.
I think you'd better kick...
We might let boys into our studio, but... I don't think so. I just think there is a reality that men's and women's physicality is vastly different, and particularly in a high-contact sport, that would be very hard to manage.
Mm. But Fiona, one of the things I think... We were talking about before is the fact that in the women's game, though, it's far more technical, and you can actually see an awful lot more of technique coming through because it's not just about brawn, it's not just about strength, it's actually about quite a lot of skill.
Yeah, that's right. And it was a bit of a faster... It was a bit of a hard game to get used to at first because it was a different dynamic and different strategy, and even the rules are different. So, and this year they're actually bringing in an interesting rule the last touch rule. So the last person to touch the ball before it goes out of bounds, will the free kick will be given to the opposition, which is something they don't do in the men's league. They do it in other sports, but the idea being, you know, obviously to try and keep the ball in play as much as possible to keep the game faster paced in that way. So they often try rules like that out in the women's league to see how it works. And it could be something they bring into the men's league as well. So,
oh, I like that, testing out the women's league, and then, you know, if it works for them, introducing it to the boys. I think one of the most wonderful things about the AFLW, a lot of people have been always talking about that it's bringing them back to perhaps the days of the VFL, the days when football was much more community oriented, the days when the stadiums were a little bit smaller, you felt you had a greater connection to the players, and it just was bringing people back to their roots a little bit in football, which I think is an exciting development, because often there are complaints about the corporatisation of the game, and this is so sort of remarkably free from that, and I think it's really been wonderful for Melbourne fans who love their football so much.
Well, we've got a message here from Anthony in Reservoir. He says the women's AFL has done something that men's AFL has never done and will never do. I'm not sure what won't ever happen, but which is bring visibility and celebration of queer players. I mean, all the gay boys around Melbourne, they're all, you know, dribbling, thinking about AFL footballers. Paul's looking very coy there.
I've never looked at an AFL footballer.
No, but...
Hoping Alex Rance will turn. But
even possibly comment.
And, I mean, that's been a real strength, hasn't it? Women players can be themselves.
Absolutely.
Interesting statistic is that around about 80% of women that play football are gay, and most of them are out. We were down at the best and first night of the AFLW last year, and the girls were just arriving on the coral carpet with their partners in their, you know, hand in hand, taking photos together. It was just nothing.
It's so wonderful, because, you know, in a year in which we finally achieved marriage equality. But, you know, if we'd said, if I'd said to you 5 years ago, there is going to be a serious competitive AFL Women's League, and that so many of the players are going to be out and proud and visible, we all probably would have gone, oh, yeah, that's a nice wish.
Yeah.
But it's happened, and it's now part of the sports framework, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, the AFL Pride Games become a part of the annual calendar in the AFL as well, and I have a little secret that we'll give the details to on our show next week.
Can you give us a hint? Just a little hint. A teaser?
But there is a Pride game happening in the AFLW, and we'll give all the details on the Chicks Talking Footy show on the 17th of January.
Fantastic.
But, yeah, very exciting. We'll be broadcasting that game as well. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And also because it's just such a non-issue for all of the people that love watching the game, whereas in the men's league, then, you know, obviously it's a really big deal when somebody comes out. But, you know, it's just a non-issue, and this is the way it should be.
But, you know, it's really interesting, Fiona. Let me just say this. I've spoken to a couple of, let's call them blokes, real blokes. And
blokes.
They love the AFL Women's League because they love the football, and as Paul said, it's actually a bit of a more technical game and more about technique, but they love the fact that the players are not corporatised as much. Now, I'm not saying that won't come over time, and in a lot of ways, you know, I look forward to more corporate support coming. But, you know, these guys, you know, they love it. And I said, oh, you know, That old line, oh, you just like watching it because it's lesbians. Oh, no. No, mate, it's bloody good footy. You got to watch it.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good footy. And, yeah,
well,
and of course,
there's a couple
the lot.
Things...
Sorry, go on.
Sorry, there's a couple of things about that. it is actually becoming more and more corporatised, I think, because people are seeing the dollar signs that are coming in the league. Even I've been in Brisbane and Sydney over the holidays. I'm in Sydney right now. And, you know, Darcy Vesio and Mariana Hope, they're all on the special car billboards everywhere. There are players that are getting sponsored by individuals. It's definitely coming. But as I think Fiona said earlier, you know, part of what I think we're enjoying about the Women's League at the moment and will enjoy for a few years to come is that it has brought it back to that roots. You know, you can go on the ground after the game and have a kick for the foot and hope not to get hit on the head.
Yes.
You know, if the players stay around after the game a lot more and sign autographs and take selfies with the girls and, you know, all of that nice stuff is happening at the moment, and I think we'll just enjoy what it is and enjoy what it involves into.
And to finish, just a final question for me before we wrap up. In terms of your support from the AFL, how much contact are you getting with them and how are they supporting you trying to represent the best of AFL women's for them?
Well, the AFL have been hugely supportive of our show. They gave us media passes to all the women's games. So we were doing a lot of reporting in the change rooms. You know, we were reporting at the State of Origin in the commentary boxes. They're right behind our show. And of course, they're the ones that set up the broadcast for the AFL Pride game for us as well. So we're also really involved, a lot of us in the AFL Pride Collective. So, you know, 15 out of 18 teams now have LGBTI supporter groups. So the AFL has been very supportive
of
that
group
as well. So, yeah, we've met as a collective with the AFL just before the marriage equality survey thing happened, and we had their ear about how they could support marriage equality and how they could support our community. So they've been hugely supportive.
That's great to hear.
We're going to have to tell Andrew Bolt it was your doing. Although I secretly think he watches the AFLW.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But I think we also need to make sure that when the AFL do things like change their logo to yes, that we ring them and thank them because they copped it first.
Oh, no, I did. I rang and emailed as well.
Yeah, great, because they were getting a lot of nasty phone calls that day too. So they've been wonderful.
Great. So what we want people to do is to listen in to Chicks Talking Footy on the 17th of January for a special announcement. We've had a little preview. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to download our podcast when it goes up. But the 17th of January, again, thanks for your time, Fiona, and thanks for the work all you guys have done on this. It's extraordinary. It's put women's football on the map. It's put Joy on the map, and I think it's provided a huge amount of reinforcement and encouragement to our community. But for the players, I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that's happened, and it's now unstoppable. So well done.
Thanks so much, Macca, and thanks for the support your show gives to our show as well. It's been wonderful.
We love it. I love it. Chicks Talking Footy. It's fantastic. What a great title.
Great to talk to you, Fiona.
Great to talk to you as well.
You have a good day.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.